Morning. How's everybody this morning? What? That's a little better. Amen. I want you to do something that we do at the prison and worship services sometimes. And that's what we do is we have each inmate turn to another inmate and tell them that Jesus loves them and they love them too. So I want you to find somebody this morning. I want you to look them right dead in the face, and I want you to tell them that this morning. Would you do that? All right. Amen. Now, for you all, that's kind of an easy thing. But I want you to imagine being incarcerated with a bunch of men and telling them that and really not ever being maybe a person who went to church very much. But I'll tell you what happens when we do that, those men begin to realize that there are people who care for them and they become united together in the service. It's good to come and be with you this morning. I appreciate Brother Kenny asking me to come and share God's word with you. And something that I think is so important is before we begin in a service is that we get ourselves prepared and ready to worship God. We're here this morning to allow God's Spirit to speak to our hearts. Some of us are here this morning and we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And we have that personal relationship with Him that guides and directs our lives. And some of us are here this morning looking for that relationship. Some of us are seeking out what it is that God wants to do in our lives. And some of us have found that our lives may be so empty that the only thing that we haven't tried is Jesus, and we're here today to find out about Him. I want you to go with me in just a few moments in a word of prayer, and I want you to prepare your hearts to hear what God has to say to you. To let God say to you where you are, because God laid this message on my heart, and I you know, sometimes as ministers we question maybe where God leads us to. And I know that He has a purpose in it, in the fact that the title of the message, if it were to be titled, is Eternal Separation. Eternal Separation. I'm going to ask that you join the hand of the person sitting next to you and let's pray together before we begin to read the scripture. Most gracious and divine Heavenly Father, O Lord, we just thank You for this day and for the opportunity to come to this place and to worship and to praise You this morning. And God, we come first of all asking You to forgive us of all those things, God, that we should have done and those things that we should not have done. God, that we might come to the throne of grace, Lord. And Lord, be able to communicate with You and be able to feel the presence of Your Holy Spirit. God, we ask You, Lord, that that Holy Spirit will enter this place. And God, it will not only enter into this place, but God, it will dwell upon each heart and each head and each mind of each person here. Lord, that You will speak to us all. That those who need to be drawn closer to You, Lord, as Your servants, will be drawn closer. Those who are seeking You, God, will find You in this place this morning and receive and accept You and know You as Lord and Savior of their life. Lord, I ask You, God, to just move me from this place, Lord, and use my voice, God, that I may say the things that You would have me to say. That lost souls can be won and that folks can come to a closer understanding of Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank You for those men there in that institution, God, that are praying for me this morning. Lord, I thank You for the opportunity that You've given unto me to serve there and to be a part of that ministry. And Lord, I thank You for the opportunity You have given me to be a part of this church and to serve in this place. And I ask You now, Lord, to take charge of this service. God, remove all hindrances. and allow all of us, Lord, to work and learn together in this place. In Jesus' name we pray, and for His sake, and amen. I want you to turn with me, if you will, this morning to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, and we're going to look down at verse 31, starting there this morning, and we're going to read some scripture there. Again, that's Matthew chapter 25, verse 31 is where we're going to begin. I kind of hesitate sometimes. I have used this message, this scripture before in a message. And I'll explain to you in a moment kind of what happens. Sometimes as ministers, we see strange things happen as we stand up here in the looking over the congregation. And I was in a church one time and I preached this same scripture, and I saw kind of a funny thing to happen, and I want to share it with you in just a moment after I read the scripture. Again, in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 25, beginning there with verse 31, it says, "And before him shall be gathered," I'm sorry, verse 31, "when the Son of Man shall come into his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. And then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hunger and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, unto everlasting fire before the devils and his angels. For I was a hungry, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hunger, or a thirst, or a stranger, or a naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, The verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have not done it unto one of these, of the least, you did it not unto me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, the righteous unto eternal life." You know, sometimes in our lives today, as we live life, we forget about that this moment that we read about in that scripture is going to come. There is going to come a day that Jesus is going to separate all nations. The Bible says in that first verse that all nations are going to appear before him. What a glorious time in heaven that will be for those that are children of God. And it says that he is going to separate the sheep from the goats. Well, one time I was preaching this message, and a couple came in to visit in the church, and they were sitting in the back, and the moment that I said a sheep from a goat, they got up and moved to the other side. They didn't want to be a goat. None of us want to be goats, amen? We all want to be sheep. And there's a reason that Jesus uses that terminology in this scripture. Because, see, a sheep is obedient to the shepherd. A sheep does what the shepherd says for him to do. A sheep goes where the shepherd leads him. A sheep trusts the shepherd. A sheep knows that the shepherd is going to take care of his needs. And you and I, as children of God, being those sheep, we understand that God is in charge and that God, we can trust Him. That He takes care of our needs. That He is in charge of what's going on in our life. But if you're a goat, see, I don't know if you've ever seen any goats or not. I don't know if anybody around here even has any goats. I'm going to tell you a story in a moment that really happened about goats. But goats do what they want to do. Right? In fact, the old goat sometimes will eat a tin can or they'll eat anything they can get a hold of. They're not too obedient. They can be pretty stubborn. Sound like any of us? Huh? Who said no? So I want you to this morning to, and I'm really afraid to say that, I want you to understand that the sheep are on the right hand and the goats are on the left hand. Nobody move. I'm afraid somebody might move. So how do I know that I'm a sheep? See, Jesus said there's an easy way to know that you're a sheep. He started explaining to them what was important. See, sometimes I think in our churches today and in our society and the way we function, we forget of what Jesus really set forth that was important for us as Christians, as children, in serving Him. First thing he said, when I was hungry, you fed me. Now, I want to take it a little further than just that physical hunger. I don't believe there's anybody in this room here would deny somebody food if they were hungry. And I realize and know that there are many hungry children, many hungry people in the world. I see the TV advertisements and I understand that there are people who are hungry. But I want to take it a little bit further than that because I think Jesus was taking it a little further than that. I want you to understand, I believe that Jesus was saying to you and to me that there are folks out there who are hungry for the Word. Hungry for the Word. And you and I have a responsibility as sheep to share that Word with them. Whether that be physically taking God's Word and sitting down with someone and opening the Word of life to them and telling them about the love of Jesus, or whether it be the life in you that I live, the example that we set. Because I want you to know, even right here in this room this morning, there are people who are hungry. There's some people here this morning, and I don't want you to take it wrong, and I mean it out of love. There's some people here this morning who are goats because they're hungry. They want to find something that's lasting. Something that is satisfying. Something that gives their life meaning. And if you're a child of God and you're one of His sheep, you know what that is. It's Him. Jesus said it's important that you take care of feeding those that are hungry because when you've done it unto one of them, you've done it unto me. Then He went on to say, when I was thirsty, you gave me drink. How many of you ever really been thirsty? I mean, just raise your hand, just so thirsty you couldn't stand. What is it that really quenches a person's thirst? Water. Now, I'm going to tell you something about my wife. I think my wife shuns water. She drinks more Diet Cokes than anybody in this country. I want you to know that. I get in the car and there's a cup of Diet Coke in the car. I go to the bedroom and there's a cup of Diet Coke on the side of the table. If it was alcohol, I'd have to commit her. But it's okay. But when you're thirsty, right? You want something to drink. And Jesus said, when I was thirsty, you gave me drink. You satisfied my thirst. How many times in the Bible did Jesus tell people that he was living water? How many times in the Bible did Jesus say, I will satisfy your thirst. I am the fountain of life. We even know the story of the woman at the well. We understand that Jesus told her that he would give her living water, that she would never thirst again. See, you and I as sheep, we understand that. And I promise you there are people out in the world today who are lost and undone without Jesus, who are thirsting after something in their life that's going to satisfy that thirst. You're going to say, well, how do you know that? You know what? I believe with all my heart, and I can say this because I deal with it just about every day. I see people every day who have sought after something to quench the desire in their life. They look to drugs. They look to alcohol. They look to sex. They look to anything they can to find something that will quench the thirst in their life. But see, it's the responsibility of you and I as sheep. If you are a sheep this morning, to help them find that drink. Because see, Jesus said, when I was thirsty, he said, you gave me drink. And if you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. That's the question you have to ask. Do I care enough to share the gospel with someone who's thirsty so they never thirst again? And then he goes on to say that not only were they hungry and not only were they thirsty, but they were also naked. If we go all the way back to the book of Genesis, and we look in the Garden of Eden, and we find the very act that Adam and Eve did revealed to themselves that they were naked. And I'm not just talking about that physical nakedness that they realized they were in, but that spiritual nakedness that they knew they were in with God. The Bible says that they were so ashamed that they hid themselves. I want you to know there are people out there in the world today who are naked before God because of their sin. They don't realize it sometimes. In fact, we live in a world today that doesn't sometimes seem to be ashamed of the fact that their sin has caused them to be naked. We live in a world today where a lot of people boast about their sin. One of the things that we can say for Adam and Eve, they weren't boastful about what they had done. They realized where they were. The thing that breaks my heart today is that we've got some people who are lost, who are goats, who don't even realize and know they're lost. But you know what I believe with all my heart? Is until a person knows he's lost, he's not going to get saved. And the only person, the way a person's going to discover that he's lost is for you and I to share with him that he is naked before God, that there's going to come a time of judgment. There's going to come a time when you have to decide in your life that you're either going to choose Jesus or you're going to choose Satan. Some of you are making that decision today. Some of you have continued to make the decision in your life to stay a goat. God has shared with you that you are naked in your sin. Some of you may say, it doesn't matter right now. I still got plenty of time. I had a young man come to me about 3 weeks ago. And he came to ask me a question. He wanted to know, he said, I want to know, Chaplain, why? Why is it important that I choose Jesus now? I mean, I'm incarcerated, and I'm not getting to live my life real full. When I get out, man, I want to be able to do some things. I want to be able to have a good time. Why is it? And I don't understand. Somebody explain to me later on, why is it when people who are not Christians believe because you're a child of God, you can't have a good time? I don't know about you, but I have a good time in Jesus. If you're not having a good time, something's wrong with you. You better check where you are. And I begin to explain to him, because the good time that you're having now is only temporary. The good time that you would have in Jesus Christ is permanent. And I read to him the scripture. I said, the day's going to come when the decision you're making in your life is going to be the most serious decision you ever make. Because you're going to be eternally separated from God. Because you don't recognize and realize that you're naked in your sin. See, there's some folks out there that you and I, as sheep, we need to help clothe. And I'm not talking about going to somebody and pointing a finger at them and saying, boy, you're the worst person there is in the world. I'm talking about going to them out of compassion and love and saying to that person, I got somebody that can change your life. I can share words with you that will change you completely. Let me tell you something, and I say this with all my heart. I wouldn't want to be a chaplain in a prison if I didn't have Jesus to share with them. If my God was not a forgiving God, if my God was not a loving God, if my God was not a caring God, I wouldn't want to be a chaplain in a prison to have to go to someone who's committed murder or who's used drugs, whose life has gone as far as it can go, in the deepest hole it can go in, and have to say to them, look, there's no hope. But I can say to those young men, Jesus will clothe you. Jesus will pull you out of that place. Jesus will change your life. When I was naked, Jesus said, you clothe me. Are you getting it, folks? I hope I'm making it clear. There's some responsibilities you and I have as sheep. Sometimes we get so bogged down in the world, we forget those responsibilities. Sometimes we even get so busy being religious, we forget our responsibility to the brothers and sisters that are lost. He went on to say, then he says to them, when I was naked, you clothed me, and when I was sick, you visited me. Most people think about sickness, we think about going to the hospital. We go to visit the sick. We go to the hospitals, we go to the nursing home. I'm going to tell you this morning, I think Jesus meant it a whole lot deeper than that. In fact, in the Bible, we find Jesus telling people who were sick, your sins are forgiven. Get up, rise. You know the story of the man who was sick with palsy and how the men lowered him down in the very presence of Jesus. And when they saw this man laying there, Jesus said, your sins are forgiven you. And the scribes and Pharisees questioning his authority to do so, he said, you are well, take up your bed and walk. I want you to understand, our world today is full of the sicknesses that we have because of sin. I don't care what disease you look at. I don't care what problem you look at. Sin is the reason we have the illnesses in our world today. Sin brings about sickness. Sin brings about death. The Bible even tells us that. But the Bible says, and here it says, when I was sick, you visited me. You came unto me. You brought me something. And I don't mean physically. You came to me and let me know that you cared for me. It's so sad today that we live in a world that seems to be so busy, we don't care. We hear of people, and death has become so commonplace in our world today with people taking other people's lives. And that's sickness. Jesus said, if you're a sheep, if you are a sheep, you're going to go see the sick. And the sick are those who are lost and undone. Jesus said, I came to heal the sick. The sick are those who are lost and undone. I want to ask you a question this morning. I want you to be as honest with yourself. I don't want you to raise your hand, but I want to ask you, do you really care about the lost world? Do your actions speak loud enough to God and to others around you that you care about those people who are lost and undone without Jesus? And I'm not talking about just people who live in your neighborhood. I'm not talking about people who you know personally. Certainly they're important. But I want to know, do you really care about those people, wherever they might be this morning, who do not know Jesus? I mean, we probably have more, even right here in McKenzie, than we can think of, who haven't given their life to Christ, who are not in His church, who do not care about coming to church. And yet, we sit here sometimes wondering where they are. I even had a man tell me one time, well, if they want to go to church, there's a church on every corner. That's not visiting the sick, is it? Jesus said that we are sheep. We need to visit the sick. And then He said, I was in prison and He came unto me. I'm going to say something, and I don't want anybody to misunderstand what I'm saying. Most of those others that I read to you, physically most of us can do that. Most of us will feed those people. That if we saw somebody hungry or thirsty, we'd probably take care of those needs, physical. And if somebody was naked, we'd give them some clothes. Now on the spiritual side, we all need to work on those things. But going to prison is a different story, isn't it? See, I can tell you that many times it's difficult to get people to say, hey, I want to go to prison. You don't want to go to prison, do you? You don't want to say, I want to go to prison. You want to go visit prison, right? Let me tell you something. I understand and I know it's not for everybody. When that gate shuts every morning, when I hear those gates slam together and I look back and there's a fence so high that you can't climb it, and on the top of that fence is Constantine wire, razors on that wire. That fence is electric. There's cameras all around. And I go back there and I watch those men come out to eat breakfast, and I see the humanity of man as they come out. Now that's prison. And there are things that go on in that place that you cannot imagine. And there are people hurting there that you cannot imagine. But I want to tell you, I believe Jesus was going a little further than that. I believe Jesus was saying for those who are chained in their sin. Prisoners of sin. Do you realize this morning, lost person? You're not free. If you're here and you're a goat because you haven't received Christ or you're not serving Him in your life, you're not free. I will tell you this morning that there are some men in the prison that I am a chaplain in that are more free than some of the folks who are in the free world. Because they've given their heart and life to Jesus Christ. They found out that life was nothing without Him. They found out that they couldn't make it without Him. They found out that He was the shepherd. They found out that they could trust Him and believe in Him. They found out that all the things that they had done in the past, Jesus had forgiven. I can't begin to tell you how precious it is to know you have that forgiveness when you're in that situation. I was in prison and You visited me. I was in the darkest, very deepest pit of sin. And you came unto me and you showed me the light. See, because let me tell you something, whether you believe it or not, you and I are supposed to be the light of the world. There are people wandering in darkness this morning, folks. There are people who are looking for the light, and you and I are the only ones that can show them. And if you're not the light you're supposed to be, somebody's going to stay in darkness and be in that pit. And you cannot call yourself a sheep if you're unwilling to share that light. Jesus said, "When I was sick, you came unto me. When I was in prison, you visited me." And then what did he say to those? He said to them, "You did it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me, my brethren. Enter into that kingdom." In other words, Jesus was saying, if you love the brother, if you love those who are hungry, if you love those who are thirsting, those who are strangers, those who are naked, then you love me. The Bible says that you can say that you love God and hate your brother and the truth is not in you. See, I believe this. I believe that we're living in a time and an age that the world needs to be able to look at the church and say, those people love me. And the reason those people love me is because they have the love of God in their heart. And the thing that you and I have to ask ourselves, do I live that kind of life? Do I? Now what happens? Jesus takes those sheep and he tells them that they're going to enter into the kingdom. This is the time that's really important right here. Because in this moment, when Jesus looks to the goats and he begins to share with them, the time of separation is at hand. Jesus said, "When I was hungry, you fed me not. You was too busy. You was living life. You was living high off the hog. You had all you wanted to eat. You knew all you could know about the Lord. You weren't concerned about my hunger. When I was thirsty, you allowed me to go dry. You didn't care that I had a thirsting in my soul, that there was something lacking. You weren't concerned that maybe I felt like nobody loved me." I can't tell you how many times I hear inmates say, "You know, I'm not making an excuse, chaplain, but I didn't have the love I ought to have in my home." I'm going to share something with you personally. I had have an inmate that works with me. I didn't know his story not too recently, and he shared it with me. And I'm not going to share all of it, but I'm going to tell you. When he was born, his mother died. His father was nowhere around, nowhere to be found, so he ended up in a foster home, even as a young baby. He stayed in that foster home till he was 12 years old. He began to act up. So they decided it was time to send him to a juvenile institution. They sent this young man to a juvenile institution, and he spent until he was 18 years old in the juvenile institution, and they put him out on the street. They could no longer keep him. He was living on the street, and to hear him tell his story would tug at your heart, because he said, "When I was on the street, I had no place to sleep. I was cold. I was 18 years old. No job, no place to sleep. I was cold. I was eating out of the garbage cans." He said, nobody wanted me because I'd been raised in a foster home until I got a certain age and they felt like I was an adult. I couldn't get a job. So I started stealing. Now I want to ask you a question. If you were hungry enough, would you not steal? You can say what you want to, but some of us wouldn't be too long, the look of us, that we'd be stealing. Right? He'd steal. He'd rob. He did everything he was big enough to do at that age. He finally got a prison sentence. He got 20 years for armed robbery. What he was after was some money to get him something to eat and a place to stay because he was cold. He was naked. He was hungry. He was thirsty. And you know what I had to say to myself, and I'm not saying this to anyone else here, but when he revealed that to me, I had to say to myself, where was the church? Where was the church? Where were the sheep? Now, I'm going to tell you something wonderful about this young man. Since he's been in prison, he's given his heart and soul to the Lord. He teaches a Bible class for me on Wednesday morning sometimes when I have to be somewhere else. He has studied the Bible. He's in the Word. I guarantee you, you couldn't match him if you wanted to. He stays in the Word. He loves the Lord. He can sing like a bird. Never could sing out on the street. Couldn't play an instrument. But he's taught himself through the power of God to sing and to play an instrument. And he sings glory to God. He leads the music in the chapel services. He's my aide. He works for me. And you know what he tells me? He says, Chaplain, I just want to thank God that he gave me an opportunity to come here and find him. Because I was naked. And he clothed me. Jesus says to the goats, I was thirsty and I was naked and you gave me no clothes. I was hungry and you fed me not. I was sick and you visited me not because you're too busy. You're too concerned about everything else that's going on in the world. You got your job and you got your responsibilities and the world can hurt and fall around you and yet you say, I'm too busy. You know what? I'm going to say this and I say it with love and mercy in my heart because I know where it is. Sometimes some of us get the idea that this is all we have to do. Come to church on Sunday morning and that's the end of our responsibilities to God. But I'm going to tell you, it's just the beginning. Just the beginning. We come in here to worship. We go out there to serve. Because if we don't go out and serve, we don't know why we're worshiping. Jesus has said that. Jesus said, if you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. What did he say? Listen to me closely because I'm going to close in just a moment. What did he say? What did he say to those goats? He said, depart from me, you cursed. I never knew you. Now, I want to tell you what's terrible about that. It's bad enough of the life they lived because they weren't concerned. It's bad enough that they lived a life that was to themselves and selfishness. But the worst thing that's bad about that is the fact that those goats are eternally separated from God. Do you hear what I'm saying? They're eternally separated from God. Lost. For eternity. That's what that's about, folks. If you're sitting here this morning and you're waiting to make a decision for Jesus and you think, well, I've got plenty of time. I know I'm not a sheep. I know I have not received salvation. And I want to say this to you. I should have said it on the beginning. I want you to know I understand that all of these things are works that come after you become a child of God and you have a desire for them. But the thing that I believe is until you get saved, you're not going to have a desire to help your brother. That desire comes when you get the love of God in your heart and you surrender your life to Him and you give Him that life. Jesus is the only person I know that can take an old goat and make a sheep out of it. He's the only one I know. See, someday the trumpet's going to sound. Now, folks, whether you believe this or not, it doesn't matter. I'm telling you this morning, it does not matter whether you believe or don't believe, it's going to happen. The trumpet's going to sound. And every nation of the world is going to stand before the King. And see, He knows already. He knows who His sheep are. The Bible says that the sheep hear His voice. They know Him. He knows who the goats are. There's another place in God's Word where it said He's going to separate the wheat from the tares. He said, let them grow up together. Someday there will come a time of harvest. And when that time of harvest comes, that which is wheat will have fruit, and that which is tares will be tares. So you can't fool Jesus. You can fool everybody else, but you can't fool Him. And see, I want you to understand there are going to be some tares in prison and there are going to be some wheat in prison too. I can tell you that. There's going to be some tares in this free world and there's going to be some wheat in this free world, as inmates call it. There's going to be some sheep in prison and there's going to be some goats. There's going to be some sheep in the free world. And there's going to be some goats in the free world too. Now the question is, which are you today? You know. It's not me telling you. It's not somebody else telling you. Are these things that I spoke on this morning important to you? Do you love your brother? I'm going to tell you something, folks. Jesus isn't going to look at the church roll and say, well, you came enough times. There's no such thing. Jesus isn't going to look at the offering that was given every Sunday morning and say, you gave enough, you paid and bought your way in. That isn't going to happen. What He's going to look at is that where that moment came when you said, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And you became a sheep. That's what it's all about. You can say what you want to. You can belong to every church in this country. But until you belong to Jesus, you're lost. What about it this morning? If that day of separation came right now this morning, if Jesus came back today, which side would you be on? On His right hand, where the sheep are, or on His left hand, where the goats are? I'm going to give a threefold invitation this morning. First of all, if you're here and you're lost and you're undone and you know you're a goat, and there's nothing wrong with that. See, the shame is not being a goat. The shame is staying that way. That's where it is. The shame is living that life of sin, knowing you're lost. You need to come to this altar and receive Christ. He's the only one that can save you. I can't save you. Nobody else in this church can save you. Only He can save you. Maybe you're here and you're a sheep, but you haven't been acting like one. Maybe you've been acting like a goat every now and then. Maybe you've been thinking, hey, I can go back to being that little old goat. And maybe you need to come to this altar and say to God, God, help me be the sheep you want me to be. Help me. Because people are lost and dying. Folks, people are dying every day going to hell because they're lost. Or maybe you're here and God has called you to a special calling. Whatever the need is, as a song leader and musicians come this morning, you need to decide which one you're going to be. I venture to say that everybody in this room would tell me, Brother Paul, I don't want to be a goat. I want Jesus to know I'm a good sheep. I love the shepherd. If that's true, then we need to be the kind of sheep He wants us to be. Let us pray together.